Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
What's up, everyone? This is Mike Johnson, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. We have an amazing guest today and I'm sitting here bathed, basking in sunshine as the sun is coming up over the mountain in front of me into my little studio here. So the back of my head is really, really hot. So if I say anything that's a bit weird, you'll know it's because I've got a very hot head. Anyway, you know, I just want to welcome you new people to the show. I know we're seeing new people join every day, and thank you so much. I appreciate it. I urge you to go back and listen to some of the other shows. Dig your way around. There's a huge archive on thekickasslife.com. You can go in there and just boot around and find what you love, you know, and really there should be enough of a range in there for you to really find things that really talk to you personally. In saying that, you know, I saw a review on iTunes, the American iTunes, and this is from Tyler on March 27th. And I love about this is the message inside of it. He says, "This show quickly became one of my favorite podcasts. I feel like I know David personally after listening to him for the last year. There's always some useful nuggets of information about how to live life to its fullest." Now listen to this. He's talking about living life to its fullest. And look what he says next. "To be happier, nicer, and more loving." How simple is that, right? Kick-ass life, you new people. Kick-ass life, simple, eh? I mean, to live life to its fullest, be happier, nicer, and more loving. How's that? To be kind and nice. Simple. Simple philosophy changes everything, right? And how to strive to be the best at everything. He's turned me on to other folks I've never knew before, like Mike Dooley, Don Miguel Ruiz, John Assaraf, Lisa Nichols, and many others. He's fun to listen to, and though he has a tendency to ramble, new people, be warned, there will be some rambling going on this show, and that is kind of what it's about. There is no script. I sit here and just ramble. Anyway, I don't mind because it feels like catching up with an old friend. I love the episodes when he took us on his adventures in Australia and Bali, and would love to hear more of those sorts of episodes. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Tyler. And the reason I really read that, I loved your piece about be happier and nicer. Just, you know, when you're talking about and more loving, I mean, what a great, great way to think, right? And congratulations. So, you know, our guest today is somebody who really is just a very special soul. You know, she reminds me very much of anyone who's traveled. And certainly for those of you that don't know me and haven't really dug around in these programs yet, you know, you'll know that I backpacked for 10 and a half years around the world. And some of this free spirit thinking that I have and with a kick-ass life philosophy, or I like to talk to us about being a kick-ass life practitioner. And living life and squeezing the juice out of each moment, and even the crappy moments. What I want people to have the permission to be is you can have a slob day, a crappy day. You can, you know, you can have a wall kicking moment, whatever. But it's just it's really squeezing the juice out of it, but really living a life and seeing the world through a new lens, and where there's a new kind. This isn't a woo-woo show. I'm not a woo-woo kind of guy. Although I don't mind it sometimes, but you know what it's like. You know, we can get really soft and not everyone listen. I mean, that's fine. I love it. It has its place. And some people like it. I like range. I like to be soft sometimes. I like to be absolutely nutty sometimes and wacky and weird sometimes. I like to be it all. And, you know, that reminds me of a conversation I had yesterday. And with a friend of mine who's very, very religious and really, really, you know, believes deeply in his faith. And we were chatting about this. And I said, "Dave, do you want to reach more people? Do you want to have more of a reach?" And he said, "Yeah, I do," you know, because he really wants to do great things in the world. And I said, well, what you got to understand is everyone speaks a different language. And a kick-ass life practitioner doesn't give up their faith ever. They're strong. They have this real, you know, sense of faith. But the kick-ass life practitioner has the ability to speak all languages. So, you know, those people who don't have a faith-based conversation, or people who, you know, who have no faith at all, you know, you're able to really be in front of them and talk to them and be and see them and listen and hear them. And eventually they can actually hear and listen to you because you step into their world. And I think a kick-ass life practitioner has the real ability to step into other people's worlds and really meet people where they're at without any judgment whatsoever, without any sort of real or agenda to change them. It's really just, again, seeking out the humanness and the beauty of a human being with all their nonsense and BS and crap and the things that go on in our lives, right? So anyway, we're going to start with a little song. Those of you know that. We got a great guest coming on, and she is lovely. So hold on to your hats right here, but let's have a little Fleetwood Mac. So true, eh? It's really a lot of people, you know, they live with so much regret of what they've done in the past or what they haven't done. Guys, let it go. Let yesterday go, and tomorrow's going to come better than before. I love that. What a great way to think, right? Let go of yesterday. And I always like that, you know. I like my mistakes. I've screwed up so big so often, and I love the fact that I continue to screw up, and I expect to screw up. I expect to make mistakes. I want to make mistakes, you know, and how do you grow? You tell me how many picnics you've grown from, how many sunsets you've grown from, you know, and that you've walked away from a sunset or a picnic and go, wow, I feel like I've learned so much about myself. No, you're just like you're in awe, and you're like I am right now, bathed in sunshine as I'm sitting here. But the truth is, you know, we learn from those mistakes. So, you know, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, you know, and moving to the future and knowing it's going to be better than before. It doesn't matter what's happening today in your life. Tomorrow's going to be better, and will be better, and we'll be more equipped as long as we're not living and living in the past and worrying about what we didn't do, what we did do wrong. And here's a big thing for a kick-ass life practitioner. This idea of transparency, you know, there should be nothing in your life you've done that you're not willing to share, because as soon as you get to that place where you're not looking for the approval of others, and you could share, I'm not saying you have to share. It's not one of these people that walk around with their story on their sleeve and all they want to do is tell you everything they've ever done in their life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's nothing you would hide. And if once you get to that place, you live with a real power. There's such a power because, you know, you really step into everything you are, everything you've been, everything you've done, and there's a transparency. And when you're transparent, it's like people can look right through you, and there's nothing hidden in the corners of the closet anywhere. You know, there's no closet reference there, but there's nothing hidden. So it doesn't matter, you know, yeah, you're willing to share everything, the mistakes as well. And it doesn't matter how bad, if you've been to prison, I mean, like, guess what? If you're not afraid of it and you realize that it's been a launching pad to something greater. And you hear those stories all the time, the people who have made these colossal mistakes in their life, and they've bounced back and they're doing extraordinary things. And why? Because they're not hiding that part of them, the part that, you know, most of us are ashamed of, right? And so I urge you kick-ass life practitioners, before my guest comes on, I urge you, all right, to truly, truly, truly let go of everything that's happened in the past. Don't forget it, and learn the lessons and move on and become transparent. Nothing hidden. And there's nothing hidden. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide. It means that you can truly connect authentically with every part of your being. And then you're going to have these juicy relationships that happen fast. All right. Anyway, in saying that, I'm babbling and I'm rambling. Tyler, here I go again. And hey, listen, thanks for the reviews on iTunes. It means a lot and it gives me some direction. And I have a question for you after my guest about something we can be doing on the show. Like your input, so get your fingers out and go and leave a comment on Facebook for me, and I'll see what you think. With that, I want you to sit back and enjoy our guest. She's known as the freedom junkie, the lovely Anna Neff. Well, as ever, you know, I keep thinking of this wonderful thing to start a show with, but here it comes. I'm excited. Now, I'm excited. There's something about there are people that you meet where there's an immediate deep connection. And when I look at this lady's life and how she lives, how she thinks, what she does, her authenticity, there is something I feel like I've known her already all my life, and yet we haven't really spoken. So I want to say, Anna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. I'm psyched to be here.
Well, it's, you know, I look through your adventurous life, and I mean, your sort of tagline is the freedom junkie, which I think for passionate badasses who crave a life of freedom, adventure, and purpose. But you know, there are people who say those things, but there is people that actually live them. And what it seems to me, as I look at what you do and how you do it, you know, you kind of live this every minute, right?
Yeah, I do. And I'm really blessed. But I have to say, like, I definitely had to commit to it. And so that's sort of how my full-on 365 blog started. Because I realized I was fading away from some of those freedom values I had. Like, when you don't pay attention, they kind of sneak away, you know? And yeah, I had to make a commitment to it to make it happen every day, but here I am, and it's pretty good.
Well, you know, that's a nice little point there. You said, you know, the commit to your freedom values and how they sneak away. I mean, you know, when you look at, you do a lot of coaching, you do a lot of work one-on-one, and you do group stuff as well, but when you look at that sort of trap that people fall into where suddenly they wake up and they're like 70 or 65 and they look back and they're, what the hell happened? Is that what you're talking a little bit where we fall into that trap?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I've had cancer twice. Like, you'd think I would have figured it out the first time.
Stop it. Stop doing that. That's crazy. Stop it. That's it. Yeah. Enough. Twice is enough now. Stop being so greedy.
Right. Twice is enough. And so I always tell my clients, like, please let me have gotten the big C for you so that you don't have to get it before you wake the fuck up. Right.
Right.
And so, I mean, I really had to do it. Actually, it was a third scare where they thought that one of mine may have metastasized that really smacked me awake. And I thought, okay, like, I really need to stop messing around here. Like, how did I move away from my values yet again? Not a lot, granted. Like, for most people looking at my life externally, they were like, oh, what do you mean? Your life is great. You're doing a great job doing everything. But deep down, I knew I wasn't living my full potential. And that's what really matters, right?
But I mean, you're quite young though, right? I mean, you look young. I mean, I know you shouldn't ask a woman's age, but how old are you?
I am going to be 40, baby.
Well, you're looking good. Maybe it's because you're all backlit.
Yeah, it's because I was backlit and I'm cleansing and all that good stuff. I'm happy.
That's great. So let's start off. I mean, you're a woman. I mean, when you look through your resume again, you know, you've worked in the Himalayas. You're a mountain climber. You almost became a Buddhist nun. I mean, you've traveled on almost all the continents, and you know, you've just led this very, very interesting life. I mean, a midwife delivering babies in Bali, for goodness sake. I mean, like, wherever I look, there you are. You're in this kind of wonderful adventure, doing these crazy things. And you're smart as well. Like, you know, you've not got one degree. You've got a couple of them. And you've got all of this kind of sensible, normal things that people have as well behind you, although you don't really sort of express that in the same way. Tell me, how did it always start? Were you just woke up one day when you were little and said, okay, I'm going to conquer the world? Or what was going on for you?
It's kind of funny that you ask that, because I was just reflecting with a friend last night about how when I was a kid, I had a double dare club. And I had, like, I think I was 7, and I charged 25 cents to join my club. And my club was, I would tell people to do scary shit. And I just realized, whoa, people like to be challenged. And I was like a little kid. This was my little double dare club.
Hold on. Give us one of the scary things you made a little. I mean, how you were what, 7 or 8, you said?
Yeah. So, like, we had a really mean neighbor. So I would, you know, throw the ball into the neighbor's yard, and I'd say, you have to jump the fence, go get the ball, and jump over the other fence, run back to the front, knock on his door, and then run back over here. And they would love it. Like, people, Like, people don't want to be bored. People want to be stimulated.
Were those horns I saw at the front of your forehead when we is that what I saw?
Yes, I can be a little mischievous for sure.
A little devil.
A little devil. But like, yeah, so I think from a young age, I was an only child, and I think I developed a deep, deep aversion to boredom. And so for a long time, it became about adventure. And like, I didn't know that about the outdoor stuff from a young age. I grew up like in the ghetto, so I had no idea that people rock climbed or mountaineered. But when I got to college, I discovered that whole scene. And really, the universe just kind of plopped me into it. Like, I just was met by great guides and learned a lot of skills. And I was a very young woman that wasn't that common in the alpine mountaineering scene. And so I got really amazing jobs and got to travel the world that way. And that really gave me a lot of opportunity that I couldn't have probably afforded financially, just because I had this really cool career that took me to a lot of different places.
Well, that's 10 years, right? Himalayas, Andes, Alaska. I mean, so this is like, this is a decade of your life where obviously immersed in some of the more interesting cultures in the world, but actually living on the edge of something where, because I'm obviously an alpine guide, you're taking people, I imagine, seasoned veterans and people who are terrified and going up and conquering things for their own first time. I mean, so you must have seen a lot of different or had a lot of different experiences in those 10 years.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the climbing community is sort of this fringe cultural community. Like, I lived out of my car for 7 years intentionally, and that opened up a lot of options because I could do and go wherever I needed to go at a moment's notice. And so, you know, I had some trade-offs by being able to live that lifestyle, but they were well worth it for me. But there's a saying, like, on either side of the socioeconomic spectrum lies a leisure class. And it was those who make very little and have a lot of time, and those who make a ton of money who can buy the time. And I was definitely on that other end, you know, of very little money, but lots of cool time and adventures for a while.
So interesting, though, isn't it? When we look at the fringe you were in, how so many of them are driven by a singular passion, or, you know, the surfers and the climbers and I mean, I backpacked for a decade, traveled around the world, and I had the most incredible 10 years of my life. But again, you know, it was the same kind of fringe you're talking about. There were travelers who traveled in similar ways. But, you know, that sort of contentment, that I mean, for you to live in a car for 7 years and for you to feel, you felt really full though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was super content. I remember, like, the way I knew I'd moved away from my values later, like, you know, after that decade had passed, was I remember vividly many, many days in a row waking up just being so grateful to be alive. Like, just waking up being, I am so lucky. Look at my life. And I'd wake up under the stars in Joshua Tree, or looking up at the stars in the Himalayas and just thinking, I am so blessed. And I thought, you know, a lot of people go, eh, yeah, but that was back then, so you can't expect that now. That was like, you know, in your 20s, of course that was what that was like. But I thought, you know, no, like, it's possible to feel that every day. I really believe that. And so that's where I, you know, shifted into my life now, just really realizing I wanted to feel that every day, and I wanted everybody else to also. Like, life is so precious. There's no reason that we should be bored with it or frustrated with it.
And in the crazy, crazy scheme of things is, I mean, you're in the same work I do, in this sort of personal transformational work, whatever you call it. I'm not sure the term you use, but, you know, kicking people's asses out of their comfort zone into discovering that. It seems like that there's almost a thirst or a hunger for that. It's almost got lost in our sort of the quest for the North American dream. Let's talk that. We're in 157 countries, so excuse that expression. But, you know, people sort of get their job, they buy their house, or they don't, and they get sort of stuck. And then these years pass, and one day they start waking up. And I see that a lot with women. I see a lot of women in their 40s and 50s who are just like, oh, my goodness, you know, my whole life's been given up. And I'm yearning now for that feeling you're talking about. Do you see that a lot with your clients and your students?
Oh, definitely. And it's sort of this, it's first a deep sadness, I think, that hits people. Like, what have I been doing? Like, I've been, quote unquote, wasting this time. But then, like, given the right circumstances, like adding the right life ingredients, that sadness turns into this drive to be fulfilled. and to live that life because you finally realize it's possible. And that's what I hope, you know, through my stories and through the way I live my life, I want people to see that if I can do it, they can do it too. Like, you know, in my Buddhist studies, they were always talking about like the importance of having, you know, monks and nuns. It wasn't that everybody should be monks and nuns, but there's something to be said about seeing people that are committed to that lifestyle and that path. And I'm committed to it. And I want people to see that when you commit to it, it happens. Like progress is made.
Mm. Talk about nuns. I mean, you almost shave your head. You're about to become, you know, take the pledge of celibacy.
Oh, I know. I know. Can you believe it?
I said the first time you made love after that, you were like, thank God I didn't do that.
Yeah. And it was so funny because I thought, I mean, really, like I seriously thought about it twice. Like the one time I was actually had just finished a month long retreat in Nepal. And, you know, I was immersed and I thought, you know, this is it. Like, I want to attain this internal freedom. Here's this freedom theme again in my life. And then I thought, well, let me go climbing first because that always clears my head. And I went climbing and I thought, oh no, my dear. Like, retreating to a hobbit lifestyle would be easy for hermit lifestyle would be easy for you. Like, where my challenge is in relationship. And that's where the shizzle comes up for me. And so that's where I was experience a lot of spiritual growth, and yeah, sex is awesome. So I'm really glad,
especially in the back of a car.
Yeah, under the stars in Joshua Tree.
When you live in a car for 7 years, do you have different segments of the car that serve different purposes?
Yes, exactly. Although many have to take place in one spot. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously, you know, looking at the work you do right now, to give it context, you know, you're the freedom junkie, you know, and actually, like so many people who live passionate lives, you've made your passion your work, and you seem so, you know, transparent, and this whole idea of transparency and authenticity. Talk to me about authenticity and how have you found it, and do you still struggle? I mean, do you always feel like you're being totally authentic, or you know, how does that show up for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think when I first started out, I thought I had a little too much edge for people, and so I toned it down. You know, I did the kind of, I wasn't totally like waterfalls and rock piles type thing, but I definitely, you know, toned myself down a lot because I think I had, you know, in graduate school, 2 master's degrees, I'd written a ton of papers. And like, so my writing was very controlled. And then I realized, you know, I have to really commit to being authentic and drawing the people that are attracted to me and the way I speak, because if I'm going to do this and do it full on, it's too exhausting not to be myself. And life is too exhausting not to be yourself. Like, to be faking it through life is so hard. And so I have been blessed with many mentors and, you know, like working with Andrea and Amy, you know, who you've interviewed as well. Like, just having this group where we celebrate each other's authenticity helps keep me on it. But I can definitely catch myself where it's mostly in situations where I'm not feeling, you know, super confident about what I'm talking about or something. Then I can feel like I might fall back into that a little bit. But to be honest, I've recognized that pattern and I can sense it when it's happening right away. And at this point, I can kind of whip myself back into authenticity.
So but talk to me about this, because I feel it's one of those things. I know with my own students, one of my underlying things that I'm always working on is helping people sort of find that authenticity and the transparency. I would say, you know, if there's nothing you're afraid to talk about, I asked you that question before we started the show. Is there any way you don't want to go? And of course you said no. And transparent people don't care. There's no subject that's taboo. And when you're completely transparent, there's nothing you won't talk about. There's nothing hidden. It doesn't that play a huge role in that quest for authenticity, do you find?
I do. Like, there's a concept I really like. It's a Tibetan word called Ziji, Z-I-J-I, and it means radiant inner confidence. And I think that's where authenticity comes from for me, this radiant inner confidence. And what I mean by that is when you're really clear about what you want, what you don't want, who you are, what makes you sing inside, what brings you joy, when you get really clear and have this inner confidence about that and acceptance, then authenticity flows more easily. Like I have a program called the ZGF Mastery Program because I believe in it so much in terms of helping people to live authentic lives. Because ultimately, you know, my whole thing's freedom junkie. Like you're not ultimately free if you can't live authentically. Like that's the ultimate freedom to me too.
Talk, you know? Talk to me about why the trap then, you know, why people, you know, there's, cause I can just hear people who aren't living fully transparently and authentically, just leaning forward and listening to your words now. But just remind the people who are listening to the show, what is it to not live authentically? So, because sometimes it's hard to know, am I or aren't I? So what is it? How do you know if you're not? How can you help someone discover if they're not?
Okay. I would say, let me see. That's a great question. So in terms of knowing if you're not living authentically, I would say to look at the people in your life, like, are they lifting you or are they draining you? Like, do you have relationships and friendships and connections that lift you up? Because if you do, that's because they're celebrating you and who you are. And if you're around people that you have to watch yourself around and you can't totally be yourself or that suck energy out of you, that's a sign that you're not living authentically. And then also, when you're nervous about going into situations, not nervous like, oh, I'm kind of excited or I'm not quite sure what the outcome will be, but nervous about, wow, like, who am I supposed to be in this situation? What would they like me to say? Like when you find yourself speaking to how you want people to, or how you think other people want to hear you, that's another sign that you're not being truly authentic. And I would say if you're working too hard, like if everything seems exhausting, like going to a party seems exhausting, being in a social situation seems exhausting, waking up seems exhausting, that is a sign that you're not being authentic. Because when you're living more authentically, life is easier because your life is in alignment. Like your work is in line with your values, your friendships, your relationships are in line with your values. Everything is in alignment and more easy.
I love how you answered that question, and I'm pleasantly surprised by the answer, because there's a thousand different things you could have said that would have all made sense as well. But I love where you started. You started with this whole idea of relationships, and environment plays such a massive role in this sort of the picture we end up painting in our life and who we end up becoming, I suppose, as a way to say it. So talk to me about that. So someone's waking up or they're listening to you right now and they're saying, yeah, I feel that. I have that thing where I'm around these people that are draining and they're not lifting me up, they're draining me. I'm around these people where I feel like I have to wear masks. I'm kind of walking on eggshells. I'm exhausted every time I have to go do something because am I wearing the did I iron my underwear, right?
Yeah.
But what is a good first step? How does someone start sort of they're hearing this? How do they make a step out of it?
I would say make a list of the people in your life that you want more of their juice, like people that you are inspired by, and look at the characteristics of those people. And first, set the intention that you're going to call more people like that into your life. And then take action. Like you see someone at the gym that just you, like they're radiant and happy and you're just drawn to them. And you're like, I want more friends like that. Like people that will light me up, like go up and just start talking to people like that. And not everyone is going to be receptive, but you got to start somewhere in terms of making new friendships and calling in new relationships. But also, and the hard part is, you know, the way the universe works is filling a vacuum. So if you're full of relationships and connections that are draining, you have to let go of some of those in order to open up space for new friendships and healthier and more authentic relationships to come in. And I think this is one of the hardest parts of growing spiritually and growing in your authenticity is you will watch people fall away. And that can be really scary and it can feel lonely sometimes. But that's why I really think it's important to have a tribe of people, you know, whether it's at freedomjunkie.com or somewhere else, like your yoga community or whatever it is, who are supportive of that. Because initially it can feel really lonely. But what I will say is trust me, like when you create that space, you're going to have more opportunities for the more authentic people who will celebrate the real you to come in. Because like for example, this is not totally related to this, but similar. Like I had a girlfriend who was dating this guy and they both knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. But they kept dating each other. And I'm like, girlfriend, like, how are you going to meet anyone else if all your dates are with this guy who, you know, like you're not going to be with forever anyway. Like you have to stop seeing that person, have a void, and maybe you're lonely a few nights, but now you have the opportunity to call in your soulmate. Now there's the space. Now there's the opportunity.
Mm. I love that that void, that piece of the void, which I love. And by the way, I'm really, really enjoying this. I mean, I love all of my conversations, right? But there's you have a real richness about that. My inkling is a part of that wisdom comes from the amount of time you've spent in these ancient cultures, where some of this is more innate. You I don't see it as much. That sort of hidden mask as much in some of these cultures that you've been in. And I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. But
sure.
This void, people are terrified of the void, you know, that in order to, you know, the universe to do its job, that sometimes we have to create the space for it to happen. But in the space, you talked about the loneliness and there's a lot of fear in that void. So let's talk a little bit more about that. And obviously in your own journey, you must have stepped in there a number of times, but again, help someone through that void. What happens if it takes a year? What happens if it takes 6 months? What's your experience around the void?
Yeah, my experience around the void is it gets filled pretty quickly. and it's different for different types of void. But like, for example, if you're creating a void for your soulmate, you must have patience for that, first of all. But it can definitely fill quickly or not. But that means that this is a great opportunity to do the inner work of, okay, am I comfortable with myself? Am I like, why not? And doing that inner work to be able to be alone and be happy with the stillness and your voices that come up in that stillness. And, you know, you can't really do that with a distraction of too many friendships and or like a dramatic relationship and whatnot. So what I would say is if you're in that void, use it as a time for self-love, like really nurturing yourself and really getting clear about what it is you want. I mean, I've never seen anyone do this and then just sit alone. I mean, when you're doing the work, like when you're not just sitting and waiting for the people to arrive, but when you're doing the work, like, you know, you're doing workshops, you're working with a coach or whatever it is, when you're doing the work and you're taking action to put yourself out there, that void does get filled. But in the meantime, there's some really deep questions there that come up in the void. And we are all really afraid of being alone. I mean, like the ultimate loneliness is, I mean, not to get like super heavy here, but yeah, to get super heavy here is death, right? Like that's what I had to deal with my cancer. It's like, holy shit, man. Like this is all me. Like in the end, this is all me. And realizing that, that's the ultimate void, but it's like, that's the fire too of like, okay, there's the fire of being able to be okay with how your life is now and leaving it potentially because of death or being able to sit in that stillness and that aloneness, because that's what happens in the end for all of us. So we might as well practice now. Hmm. And it's like sitting with that stillness in that void and really being okay with uncomfortable. Yeah. Like being okay with the uncomfortable. I feel like as a culture, we're really not used to being uncomfortable on many levels. Like everything's temperature controlled. You could actually not break a sweat or shiver all freaking day, no matter where you live. Like that's kind of weird. To me. And it's like, yeah, like we're so comfortable in it and there's any discomfort and it like freaks us out. And so like first being uncomfortable is okay. Like that's part of being human and being in a body, but I would say reach out and build a tribe around you. Like, ask for help. Like, you may feel alone and you may be creating the void for other relationships, but that doesn't mean you have to do it all alone.
Mm, I love it. Okay. There's so many great things you're talking about. I love this idea, though, of the in the void, you talk very clearly about the action that's needed. I mean, and that, you know, that even the action of falling back in love with ourselves, which I find is one of the number one things around most students I've ever met. Yeah. Is this the inability to love our own imperfection. You know, I always say that people are perfectly imperfect, and it's our imperfection that connects us. Yet it seems to be that the imperfection is what so many people focus on that separates them. In your journey, and again, I know you work with a lot of different people. As they start to, you know, get more comfortable with the uncomfortable, as they start to be conscious about building a tribe and start to really see people who they want in their life and actually go up and talk to them, which again, and I love what you said. It wasn't like, hey, not everyone's going to be receptive. Some will, some won't. But the truth is, when you're consciously inviting people into your tribe, how have you seen that materialize? What comes next? Once you start having that around you, what are people starting to feel? What's the juice that's starting to come out now?
What's the juice that's coming out of?
I was thinking about, even as I asked that question, I thought that's a really weird question, but. What I meant was, you know, I'm trying again to put someone in the experience because, you know, for them to have the payoff, what's the payoff as people get to that place where they're letting go of the old, they're spending some time and working on themselves and taking action and inviting new people in. Mm. What's the payoff you've seen from all of that?
Oh man, the payoff is this immense relaxation and having a tribe around you, like, you know, like the type of friends that you can just go over and not talk, or like you can just go and be in the same room and not have to create a reason to be together. And like I always describe, you know, when I first came to Alaska, I mean, it was like my first night here, and there was a group of people. We were dancing. We were just having this disco party. We were all just wearing like fake fur and like sparkly glitter and wigs, and we were howling at the moon. And I mean, the minute we were all howling at the moon, I thought, I have found my tribe. There's other people who howl at the moon on a regular basis. This is awesome. I was just like, woo, I'm here. I have arrived. Like, and I mean, we are a motley crew. But I tell you, like, what the reward is looking around and seeing your friends and loving them for their imperfections. And it's just so funny. Like, you just have so much more fun being around people who are being authentic. Like, people are just more quirky. Like, we are actually really interesting individuals, all of us. Some of us may think we're boring, but if you just let yourself be you 100%, you are totally entertaining. Trust me. And it's like, yeah, when you're around people like that, it's just, you get to witness people doing what they're supposed to be doing on this earth. And that's inspiring. Like, you being you authentically is what you're supposed to be doing. And that is really inspiring. And then what happens, the payoff, you inspire other people. And then people tell you, you know what I love about you? You're so real. And then you see that person, a little fire is lit in them. Like, I want to feel that way. I want to be relaxed in my body and in who I am. And it's a ripple effect. To me, that's the greatest payoff, is you start inspiring others by being real yourself.
Well, and you talked about, you know, Andrea and some of these other amazing women that are doing similar work, how you've all sort of come together and share this space and do it beautifully and inspire each other. And that's something I've noticed is once you start stepping into that world, I mean, everything you want comes, right? I mean, everything comes.
Yeah.
How the hell does that work?
Yeah, well, I always tell people, like, that's why getting clear is so important when I work with people, because you will get, you know, the saying, like, you don't get what you want, you get what you focus on. And so the issue is, we will get what we focus on, and a lot of us are focusing on the wrong thing. And so if we allow ourselves to get clear, which can be kind of scary, because when you actually commit to getting clear and wanting something, you are also potentially thinking, I actually may not get what I want. And that can feel pretty scary. But the truth is, when you get really clear about what you want, you will get it if that's what you're focusing on. And so, you know, it's that, you know, energy goes where, and energy flows where attention goes. And it's like, the way it works to me is starting with clarity. Because when you're not clear about what you want, like, some people think they know what they want. Like, I want to have a fancy house and I want to have a nice car. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I bet your bottom dollar that what you really want is the feeling that you think will come from having those things. So let's get clear about what that is first. Like, what's that feeling you want?
Yeah. And so when you help people get clear, like, let's say, for example, when you started to get clear, what is the feeling you want? As you've discovered this, I know that you're in a yurt right now in Alaska, but you have, then you have a place at Telluride, and your life moves around in different places, but your contentment, it seems, your happiness is not contingent on that, but it seems wherever you go, your tribe is created around you. You have an online tribe as well, it feels like. But but give me an idea then of your feeling. What is the feeling that you want in your life? What is it that you're striving for now?
Freedom is a huge one for me. And when I say freedom, because that could mean different things to different people, but for me, the feeling of freedom is, it feels expansive and radiant and easy and joyful. Like those are all kind of wrapped up in freedom for me. And freedom is an abundant thing for me too. Like, I want to feel abundance. That's another thing that I like to feel, because these things that you want, when you get clear about the feeling you want, they're going to show up sometimes in ways you didn't think of. Like, I didn't think I'd be in a yurt in Alaska, although I could have maybe potentially predicted it a while ago. But like, if you look at my life, but I mean, really, I just sort of went with it and I just kept checking in. Is this giving me this feeling? Yeah. Like, oh, wait a minute. The house on the hill with the sauna and the nice view that I had there, like, that wasn't giving me that feeling anymore. So I can let go of that. And like, the feeling is what drives me, not the external thing of what it looks like. But ultimately that falls into place too. That's the brilliant thing. And then for me, another feeling is radiant. Like, I want to feel radiant, like that my life is a light for others also. And that I have this inner warmth and glow, this energy that I can give. Like, I can give because it's this endless supply.
How important is that? You know, when you talk about, I love those words, freedom, abundance, radiance. I mean, really, if you could capture a feeling of someone's life, those are three amazing words. But, you know, the radiance part, this light for other people, the way I interpret that, and again, excuse my interpretation, is this feeling of giving and service and purpose and showing up and that sort of ripple you already mentioned. How important is discovering that sense of purpose, or that life had meaning? How important is that to people?
Yeah, that's the money ticket. That's the thing that I think we are all searching for. And I think the pain that a lot of people feel in their daily lives when they wake up is this, God, like, why am I doing this? And unfortunately, I think because our culture has work as such a huge part of life, a lot of people really struggle with trying to make work fit in with purpose. And that is great if it does. Like, I have to say, it does for me, and I'm very blessed. But I also want to encourage people to think of purpose about how you're being in the world. Like, how are you being? Not just what you're doing. Like, let's not define ourselves by what we're doing, but how are we being in the world? Like, what is your purpose on that level? How are you showing up?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful concept, because what I love about that is, because there are people listening on the show right now who, you know, they're in survival or struggle mode and they have to go to work. And so, you know, it could be easy that you start to say, well, I just have to, I've got two jobs, I'm busting my ass. But how they're being in those two jobs, how they're being when they wake up, even though they do have to do those things right now, will actually shift over time. I remember I was in a washroom one time and there was a guy, you know, you go into these washrooms of hotels and there's somebody standing in there handing towels and cleaning the toilet. You know, this guy was the most positive kind, generous, open-hearted man. You could tell he was so proud of what he was doing. Mm. And when I walked in, and I actually went to the bathroom a couple of times, but I really didn't need to. I just wanted to go back and chat with him. But I just felt there's a guy here who changed my day in a job that, let's be honest, you know, a washroom attendant maybe not be the highest thing on most people's list. But there's this guy living fully, and he was fully radiant. I mean, he had that abundance feeling to him, and he felt and looked like he was free. Because he was totally, is that what we're talking about here?
Mm, exactly what we're talking about here. Because you like, okay, I'm just going to qualify with this saying that, yeah, I'm proud that the majority of my clients usually end up quitting their jobs and creating something else awesome. But first, where we start first is in this being, because that is what traps us the most, is our mental space and our negative mindsets and our limiting beliefs, our negative self-talk about ourselves. And that is what limits our joy and our freedom the most. And it's easy to look externally and see all the limitations around us, but really what will ultimately free us, like for free and at any given moment in the snap of a finger, is if we can free ourselves from our mental constructs that are holding us back, that are keeping us from living a life in alignment with our dreams, like in being people that we are proud of being.
Mm. I love this. You're so wise. Talk to me about this negative conversation in the head, because obviously this beingness, regardless of what we're doing right now, if we say that the being comes first, and then as our being becomes more radiant, as that abundance feeling and that freedom starts to emanate from us, then obviously choices become more evident, and the courage to take better choices. Like you said, a lot of the people you coach will go through this inner transformation and then choose to change the external part of their world, where they work, what they do, their passions. But you know, this kind of first part of this inner conversation, if you've been beating the crap out of yourself for 40 years or 50 years, or, you know, you've been putting yourself last on the bus. So many women I work with, you know, they give up their life to their kids, their husbands, and, you know, end up just like, sort of almost invisible in so many ways. How do they start? If they could take one thing from your show and about how they manage that inner conversation, what's some of the strategies that you teach people or help people with?
Yeah. So that negative self-talk, that gremlin or that inner committee or the saboteur, there's so many words for that. But in terms of that negative self-talk, I would say first start with compassion. Like, we have to have self-compassion. And when you have that self-compassion, you know, first say, okay, all right. Because what I often see is there's this negative self-talk, and then we beat ourselves up for having the negative self-talk.
It's the trap.
It's like, oh my God, why am I so shitty to myself? I can't believe I'm so shitty to myself. And it's like, okay, first self-compassion. Okay. So compassion is, you know, there's a difference between compassion and love. I'll go into that in a second. But like, compassion is the desire for you to be free of suffering. So be freeing of these negative self-thoughts. And the way you can do that first is to recognize that they served a purpose initially. Like, they arose to protect you at one point. And they worked at one point, like when you were more helpless, maybe as a kid or in a very disempowered relationship or something, these negative, fearful thoughts worked to protect you. But now you're stepping into more autonomy. Now you're committing to making the right choices. Now you're committing to honoring your values and taking care of yourself, so you don't need them anymore. So when those come up, the first thing I say is like, okay, thank you for helping me. I honor like that you were valuable in the past, but I don't need you anymore. And then they'll come up again, and you say that again. Thank you. Okay, I don't, but I don't need you anymore. And so it's just this acknowledgement that it's normal. And it's a tenderness towards yourself, like, oh, wow. Like, sometimes I like to imagine myself when I was 3 years old or 5 years old. And, you know, when you're having these really kind of harsh realizations about the world, like when you have someone mean to you for the first time, or you're like, someone isn't honest with you, or you're deceived, like those first experiences can be so intense. And just hugging myself, like, come here. Like, you poor thing, like you're such a beautiful soul, and then all this shit happened to you. Come here, I'm going to hold you, and I'm going to honor you now, because we got this. Like, let's do this together. And then I find that when you stop battling the negative voices and just trying to stuff them away, then they soften. They soften more. And then the second thing is sometimes you do just have to say, shut up and stop. So, like, start there. But then you just have to be firm sometimes. And then just really work on distracting yourself from those thoughts and just say, stop. I'm not going to go down there. Like, if you have a lack mindset and you're always going, poor me, if only I had more money, yada, yada. If you start on that, sometimes you just got to flat out say, stop, I'm not going to think it. And we really, really want to, because our neural pathways are grooved to go there, but you have to start developing a new habit. And that's the third thing, is developing these new habits to fill that space of what that other one used to. So either countering it with a new positive reframing of the situation. Like, oh, now I have so many ways I can make money. Like, I'm going to brainstorm all these different ways, or whatever it is. You have to have a new experience to start replacing the old one. And that's where self-love can come in. Love being the desire to be happy, not just free from suffering, but happy. And then allowing yourself to make choices that aren't just good enough because you're trying to avoid suffering, but making choices that allow you to have more happiness in your life.
Mm. It's interesting with the Dalai Lama or Deepak or anyone like that who's deeply spiritual, and you kind of ask him the meaning of life, and happiness is kind of the answer, right? Is to be happy. And, and I love the way you define differently, compassion first, sort of to free ourselves from suffering, and then self-love. The self-love can't come right away, because again, we've spent so much time listening to that monkey in our head, right? Which again is primarily conditioning. Very, very wise. And so, you know, let's talk about happiness. Happiness then, if we say that, you know, and obviously people, I'm sure there's so many people who are listening right now that would like to maybe do some work with you. So before we go on too much, if somebody wanted to get hold of you and do some work with you or do some coaching or be a part of your tribe and come play with you, how do they do that?
Oh yeah. So head over to my website, freedomjunkie.com. And there's a work with me tab, and on there, there's a lot of different, like I lead cleanses 3 times a year. I do group coaching programs. I do online programs. I do one-on-one coaching. That's all there. And I also do a free monthly Jedi Juice call that's super fun. There's a lot, and then I have my easing that has great articles and tips to help you out. So yeah. Head on over there, sign up. I have a free ebook that's on getting clear, because obviously I'm big on getting clear. So I thought, man, I don't care. I'm just giving this out there for free, because if the world could get more clear, that would be awesome. So you could download that too.
Mm. And you know, when we start talking about, you know, building our tribe, coming somewhere like into your tribe, and people are welcome to come in there, then they're going to find a lot of people of like mind, a lot of people who are on this journey, who are going through the similar things and really want similar things. So it's actually a great place to start, right?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And just feel it out and come join and play.
So back to sort of, we don't have long left. I don't know where the time went, but
I know I'm having so much fun.
Happiness. Definition of happiness. Do you have one? Do you want, what is happy?
To me, happiness is when you're in alignment with your values, because really the only time we're not happy is when we're not honoring a value that's really important to us. And that's why, again, it's really important to get clear about what your values are. When you get clear about your values, then you can make choices that I find decisions are easier, because you can say, is this honoring my value or not? Or maybe it's honoring this value, but not that one. So what does that mean for me? But when we're not consciously making decisions or choices based on our values, and they end up not being in alignment with our values, that's where we feel unhappy. Like, look at any point in your life where you're unhappy, whether it's your money situation or your relationships or your job. You're unhappy because you're not in alignment. There's a part of you that knows that. And it's saying, hello, there's something wrong here. That's what emotions are to me, period. Emotions are feedback from our body and our soul that says, something is up here. So listen to me. It's like, you know, even with anger, like anger saying, something's out of alignment here. And that's all it is. It's just telling you. So pay attention and watch and do something about it. So happiness is when it is all falling into place. We're so joyful, right? Everything, quote unquote, feels right. And it feels right because you're in alignment.
You're so smart. You're a smart cookie. I can tell you're smart cookie. Okay. Hey, this is a bit of a setup because I asked you about happiness because I had this sense about it. And I really love the, by the way, what a great answer for happiness. But you know, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life.
Yeah.
And so I wonder then, what does that mean to you? To have a kick-ass life. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. So kick-ass is it's got more punch than happy, right? It's like a different feel than like, oh, the happy life.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy. But like, I'm so kick-ass. To me, the kick-ass life is you wake up excited. Like, not just content, but you're excited. Like, there's a little, for me, mischievousness going on. Like, I think for me, the kick-ass life is just full on every day. Like, what can I do today? And hey, sometimes full on is doing nothing and hunkering down and not answering your phone because you're full on relaxing. But whatever you're doing, like just get full on about it. Like, don't half-ass everything. Like, if you're talking to someone, look them in the eye and connect full on.
I love it. So kick-ass is full on. I love that because I always say, you know, if you're going to have a slob day, have a real one. Don't wash.
Yeah,
don't do anything. Just be fester. Fester while you're doing it. You know, really be a freaking slob for the whole day. I mean, if that's what you want to do, do it. But you know, yeah. You don't have to do it for a week. But yeah, I love it. Hey, you know, Anna, this has been so much fun. I want to have you back. You are such a joy to talk to. So easy. I can't believe that we're at the end of the show already. I don't even know. I just looked down and, whoa, what happened? So thank you so much for your gift. I encourage everyone to go play with Anna. She's obviously gonna help you take some really beautiful steps in the direction of that feeling that she talked about. So Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
You see that spirit? And that's what I mean, that sort of unapologetic spirit. And I know she dropped the F-bomb, you know, but who cares? You know, that's her. That's how she just, you know, what I always say, by the way, those of you that get weirded out by language is change the word, you know, because it doesn't make someone a bad person. If we have, and I have a lot of people I teach who really have zero tolerance for language. And I always try to encourage them to not let that get in the way, not let that become the block between two people. You know, you could always tell that person if you know them and if someone who's, you say, hey, listen, you know, that makes me feel uncomfortable when you swear, do you mind? And if the person's got an open heart, they're going to realize, oh, yeah, sorry about that. You know, it's not a big deal to me, right? But rather than it become sort of a blockage and standing in the way, I always say, you know, when a word leaves someone's mouth, in the ether, change it into something else. You know, make it something else. Don't let it become the thing that stands between you and another human being, you know. And I've mentioned this on the show before. You know, my nephew is someone who has a bit of a potty mouth. He's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. He's covered in tattoos, including on his head, you know, and he's a tattoo artist. And if you want to look at his work, it's Inky Joe. Inky Joe, he lives in England and he has some amazing work there. But if you were to meet him on the street, you'd think, oh my goodness, yeah, he's the most gentle-hearted, kindest, most beautiful guy. You know, he taught me a lot about this, you know, where I never judge that book by the cover. And inside this human being is this real, just a golden person. And I just love this guy so much. And it'd be very, very easy for a lot of the population in the world who doesn't understand his love of tattooing and the reason he wears them originally and all these different things, and probably wouldn't even want to talk to him because of that. So I urge you, again, kick-ass life practitioners, if you're listening to the show, reach beyond. Don't listen to the monkey mind. Don't get stuck in judgment. It's not the great way to go. In saying that, before I ask you the question about the show, I do want to play one more song with the lovely Fleetwood Mac. Let's have a listen to this one.
You can go your own way.
great word to live by. Go your own way and allow others to go theirs. And, you know, if you imagine you're a circle, if you're living a life of range, if you drew a big circle on a page and then you drew another one alongside you, and there's kind of where the two circles meet, there's this kind of, you know, this intersection, there's this section where the two circles cross. That's what I like to feel with relationships, is that, you know, people don't often take the whole circle, right? But there's a part of my personality or your personality that could become the greatest. That could be the link to a great friendship. And even though we don't share every part of our life, we can have that part of our life, you know, and there's all these intermingling circles. So I know that's a little weird, that sort of description, but, you know, I really urge you to, again, you know, go your own way, love people for going their own way, and find the ability to really tap into, touch base with, and love. I mean, I know love's a real kind of strong word, but I think, like, trusting is easy. If you trust, it's easy. And even if someone's broken your trust, why go through life with broken trust? Trust next people more. Keep trusting. And you're going to find people that live into that trust. And the people that break it once, give them the benefit of the doubt. Tell them what went on. And watch. Typically, people will treat you as you treat them, right? So you don't have to live a distrusting life, all right? And it's like this word love, you know. Why not love? Why not go into love people for who they are as opposed to, oh, I like it. Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. Why not go into discover like you would a girlfriend or a guy friend, or if you're the same sex couples, you know, somebody in your life that you want to discover more about them. And so this idea of loving people more quickly, more openly, sort of loving parts of them. I love that. I love how that guy speaks. I love his passion for that. I love, you know, this sort of language that allows us to sort of open up these doors to great relationships. I think is so cool. All right, here's my request. All right. I want to start a section, I think, you know, on the Saturday show. I've been thinking about changing it up a little bit and do this thing called Ask Dave, A-S-S, kick ass, right? A-S-S-K, Ask Dave. And I thought maybe you could send in some questions. And what I do is answer specific questions, because I do realize I get a lot of questions, private messaging, whatever that word is, to me. But I really think it would be awesome if you sent some questions, and maybe I can handle them and on the show. Because I think if one person has a question, typically it's a question that comes up quite a lot. And if they're kind of like, you know, general questions, and I see a lot of the questions are the same thing, I can batch them together, all right? But I thought that may be a fun part of the show to add an element. And maybe what we'll do is we'll do a live show once in a while where we can actually have callers on and have more of an interactive show. Again, I'm willing to take the show any way you want. It's your show. But you know, you have to be a part of it, of its construction, and give your input and help me create everything you want from it, right? We can go any direction you want. There is nothing that's out of the realm of possibility. Now, with that being said, I send my love to you, my gratitude to you. I urge you to go out there and, again, live a transparent life. You know, anything you're hiding right now, don't stop hiding it. Stop. And if you're looking backwards into the past of regret, let go of that. Forgive yourself. And love yourself for the mistakes you've made, and start looking at tomorrow. And tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will always be better as we step into it. As we become more, it becomes more. Remember the great saying, my inner world creates my outer world. Everything that's going on inside of us is a reflection of what's happening outside of us. So if we don't like what's happening outside, work on the inside. Change these philosophies, change the way you interact, change the way you show up, change your passion, change your level of output, and everything will change. But, you know, you got to love yourself. You got to have that conversation. Look in the mirror. Love your own imperfection first, and you can see others and love it too. With that being said, I will definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.